The property market in Cairns is running absolutely hot. It's almost impossible to find a rental property. Houses are selling almost days after they are listed. I raised the issue of small lots in Cairns last week in an in-depth panel discussion with master builders and a respected property lawyer and former town planner. Now, in response to that discussion, really calling for a sensible debate on how do we house people who are moving to Cairns, Ian from Port Douglas called in to the John McKenzie talk show. We'll play that grab for you now.
I've lived a few more lives and generations. A lot of the state wants this to happen. You know, we like Cairns as it is. I think it should be slowed down rather than increased.
I think it should be slowed down rather than increased. Ian, they're talking about population growth and how do we accommodate people as they're moving to Cairns, an absolute expert on this topic who I was very keen to follow up last week's panel discussion with to further the debate, is Nikki Huddy. Now, Nikki is the Managing Director of Plans Town Planning. She's also the current Australian Town Planner of the Year. Nikki Huddy, welcome to the King Review.
G'day, Gavin.
Now, you heard Ian there. I'm sure you've heard similar sentiments over the years. People, I guess, not happy with certain types of development. We've got Councillor Brett Olds really pouring fuel on the flames of concerns about these small lots or leprechaun lots, as he called them. We're going to get population growth, whether we like it or not. It'll ebb and flow, of course, go up and down, but people want to move to Cairns. We can't lock the gates south of Gordon Vale. Your quick overview on this topic of small lots, how do we accommodate these more and more people moving to Cairns?
Right, well, for Cairns in particular, I think we've got three choices just now. One, of course, is to continue the Greenfields subdivisions, which in this case, the Greenfield is the cane paddock, and we'll continue to go south and south and south. We're doing the last essentially urban areas at the moment for north of the Mulgrave River, and if we want to continue houses, which is the thing that we do very well in our region and probably most of regional Queensland, houses first. We'll be over the border river into Alumba, and we'll be driving and driving and driving until we've got a Brisbane style
commute. Now, my view
commute.
Is, Nikki, that's not a great outcome for our city. Urban sprawl is now, I guess, more and more proven around the world that it's not great for, as you said, travel, commute times. It costs more for infrastructure to be out there, so council rates often have to rise to fund that continued infrastructure.
You get a drive till you can afford it type mentality, and we put the less and less wealthy people further and further away from the services that they need, and that's everything from schools to healthcare, and then we have no public transport, so you are guaranteed to either not get the services or end up struggling to afford a car.
So urban sprawl, one option, not the greatest option.
Look, to be fair, it's not my favourite option. I think we have a really important asset in terms of land, and we have a very defined urban boundary for Cairns, stopping at the Mulgrave River or Gordon Vale. We need to be very thoughtful about what we do next in that regard. So our next alternative would be to do the infill leprechaun lots, as they've now been labelled, small lots. You think about how Cairns started out, and we had Parramatta Park's always been 400 square metres. So the earliest land use format in Cairns was 400 square metre lots, quite long and deep, but quite narrow. And we did design quite well to that constraint. A two-storey narrow house with a big shade tree in the backyard, essentially. So you would think that somewhere along the way our community understood why we had small lots, and that somewhere along the way we also knew how to design for it. It would be fair to say that possibly we've forgotten both of those things.
Can we just quickly explain infill, I guess, for listeners? I'm sure many people know what it is, but a quick summary of when you say infill, what do you mean by that?
Well, you would take your existing suburban lot, and that could be in a inner city Cairns or inner suburban Cairns, or as it's starting to be outer suburban Cairns, it's everywhere now. And if the town plan says that you could have a minimum lot size of, say, 600 square metres, if you've got somewhere in the order of 1,000 square metres, you'll go, well, that's close enough. I'll see if I can subdivide it off and put another house in behind or beside it. Sometimes we knock down the existing building and put two new buildings in. So really, Once upon a time, we might have done it as a duplex. These days, I think we're doing it more as a subdivision. And that's where the debate's heading, because even at the concept of a duplex, it's a little bit more expensive to build than a subdivision, because I would need to build the second dwelling on the property with my own house, whereas if I subdivide it, I can then sell it onto somebody else. And it's been said before, but my land is my single greatest asset. And so if I can actually subdivide it and get twice as much money for it, all of a sudden, you know, that asset has brought me something back, which is very helpful if you're underemployed right now. I guess that's part of the pressure.
And I guess the third option, which we touched on a little bit off air, was unit developments, which I think causes even more angst almost than these subdivisions. In terms of then, certainly my preference is that infill concept. I think that's a smart way to do it. It also, the other point I think that often gets missed is it helps businesses. If there are businesses in that nearby area, maybe it's a cafe, whatever it is, you know, the better the density, of course, the more potential customers you have within walking distance. But if we are going to go down this path, and we have to go down this path of infill, Nikki, how do we do it the right way so that we can allay concerns like those raised by Ian in that call we heard earlier?
Look, the concept of units in Cairns, once upon a time, probably about 18 years ago, there was a Cairns Post article that said Cairns had the highest residential unit development ratio per capita of anywhere in Australia. Quite funny. We did it. We understood it. We put them in Redlinch. They're all kinds of places. But what has changed? It would be a really good conversation to have about why we don't do units anymore. And I think one of the disincentives behind that is things like the cost of insurance and the cost of body corporates. So
This is a massive topic. Talking to real estate agent mates in real estate, the body corporate issue is insurance is out of control at the moment.
Yes. And so quite simply, if I had the choice of doing infill and or buying the back of a duplex behind your house, Gavin, as opposed to buying into a high-rise unit next door to you, I'm going for infill as well, because essentially the cost of a unit is quite a lot. You don't get any land. You end up getting not only, a $1,500 a month, a quarter rates bill, but you also get the matching body corporate bill. So it costs twice as much to live in a unit. So right now, our community and our region hasn't had a good conversation about where units should go. And even if we were going to, it's actually quite prohibitive to do it. And some of the best places where you might do it, which would be around, say, Smithfield Shopping Centre, even landowners who've got approvals for units there are going, no, I'm just going to fold that back in and do small lot housing because it's too expensive a product to develop and it's too expensive a product for people to live in.
And I think the other key point is design, isn't it? We need good design. If we are going to have these smaller lots, which, you know, whether we like it or not, that does have to happen. We need good design.
It's a really important point, and it's one I kind of went off track on, but I fully agree with you. The most important thing that every single one of us needs to understand is the value of design. If you design something well, and quite often that is a design by an architect, they can cost a little bit more up front and it can be a bit scary. I think there's a real opportunity for all of us to knuckle down and actually start to really appreciate the value of just simple things like breeze. How do you make it circulate? What could we do better in terms of our eaves? What can we do better even just in terms of which side of the block you put your driveway on, because you'll end up putting in a big block garage and you potentially block your breeze. Just a simple thing like putting the garage on the other side and you've created a far more livable house. So design is the key, actually, and I truly believe that most of us don't have enough of a grasp of the value of it. And there's not really any policy that requires it to happen because a man's house is his castle. Mm. And it's like, once you've got your block of land, you can do with it what you want.
Do with it what you will. Look, it's a debate that I think we need to keep having. I'm more than happy to keep hosting this debate, because it is about the future of our city. It is about livability. And as we heard from that caller and other feedback I've had, people are really concerned about it. So to have experts like you is absolutely fantastic for our community. We need to keep driving that debate. Nikki Huddy from Plans Town Planning, thanks for being on The King Review.
My pleasure.